down to Georgia. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind, but he was way behind, and he was willing to make a deal. When he came across this young man sawing on a fiddle and playing it hot, and the devil jumped up on a hickory stump and said, "Boy, let me tell you what. I guess you didn't know it, but I'm a fiddle player too. And if you'd care to take a dare, I'll make a bet with you. Now you play pretty good fiddle, boy, but give the devil his due. I bet a fiddle of gold against your soul, because I think I'm better than you." The boy said, "My name's Johnny, and it might be a sin, but I'll take your bet you're going to regret, because I'm the best there's ever been. Johnny, you're on up your bow and play your fiddle hard, cause hell broke loose in Georgia and the devil deals in hearts. And if you win, you get the shiny fiddle made of gold, but if you lose, the devil gets your soul."
To talk with George Norrie, call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Well, in Bogota, Colombia, Colombian police seized 292 voodoo dolls, but they were reluctant to inspect them for fear of witchcraft. They basically said to each other, "I'm not touching it, you touch it." Well, the highway chief out there says witches don't exist, we don't think. Transporting or selling the dolls is not against the law in Colombia, but police say that what is the witchcraft portion of it. Nonetheless, the police officers who seized these 292 voodoo dolls didn't touch them. They just kept them in the boxes, and they were afraid. Strange things happening out there. And that's why I'm going to open up a special topic line for you. Let me give you the number, first of all. 818-817-0021. That special line is for those of you who have seen the devil. Where have you seen the devil? Did he come to you in a dream? Did you see him out when you were walking around? Was he in a crowd? Did he notice you? That's what I want to know. Where have you seen the devil? This line reserved only for you. Those of you who can't get in on that line and you say that you've seen the devil, of course you can call any of the other numbers, but this one, this line reserved only for those of you who have seen the devil. 818-817-0021. Every once in a while, of course, my dear friend Mad Scientist Morgus will pop on the show every once in a while to really bless us with his wisdom. You might remember the old Twilight Zone show, the one with Burgess Meredith, when he was the last human being on the planet. Remember that one? It was one of a classic. Well, Morgus thinks he might have been the last human being on the planet.
The world as we once knew has ended. The darkness, as I predicted, has descended. And I alone am the last living creature alive. I warned them it was coming this way. A giant meteor would hit Earth someday. But they laughed and thought it not true. They said I was mad and belonged in a zoo. So I prepared for its arrival and gathered food for my survival. I built this one-door bunker underground. If I hadn't done so, I wouldn't be around. The meteor did stay on its course and hit the Earth with apocalyptic force that sent toxic clouds over lands and the sea and killed everyone on the planet but me. So, with tons of food, I'll survive until the Earth comes back alive. Oh, it'll be a new Garden of Eden again, when the sun breaks through with the rain. Of course, I'll have no wife to caress. But then again, there'll be no IRS. So here I am, in my bunker, all alone. Not one soul to call on the phone. What was that? It sounded like the door. Why, it's something I've never heard before. Dare I open it? There's no one else alive. I'm the only man on Earth to survive. Who are you?
Hello, Doctor. We're from the sanitarium, and we've come to take you with us.
If you want a little bit more information about our friend, the mad scientist Morgus, you can go to www.morgus.com. Open lines continue now in a moment with a special topic hotline. Those of you who have seen the devil, 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Remember last week we were tracking the piece of toast that somebody said had my image on it, and it was selling on eBay, and it went up to $9,300. Well, in the middle of the week, the owner of the toast emailed me and said, if I get that, this is going in the Guinness Book of World Records. Well, today he emailed me, and the toast has sold. It went for $55. He said that apparently the other offers of the $9,300 and $9,100 weren't real. And he had to make a decision, because if you accept that offer, then you have to give, I guess, 2% to eBay, whether you collect it or not. And so he decided, nope, he better jump. So he took the $55 deal. So the toast went for that. Those of you who are emailing me wanting to know what happened. Let's go to the phones. East of the Rockies, welcome to Coast, you're on the line. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, where are you?
Austin, Texas.
Austin, sure. I will be there the end of January, by the way.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome.
Going to do my show there.
Oh, great.
What's going on?
Well, I have a ghost story to tell you. And
okay.
Something, a short, real freaky one that happened to me the other day, but I usually turn my computer on first thing in the morning, then I go about my business and I come back to it. And I take care of my mom,
mm-hmm.
And after I got done doing my morning thing, I came back to the computer to get on to go to AOL. And when I got back to the computer, it was already on AOL and going. And I didn't put it on AOL. And I have to, you have to click twice, from the main screen, desktop.
Right.
And I have no idea. Nobody touches my computer, so it was just really freaked me out. I still haven't figured out how it did that. But the original story that I told the other gentleman was about 25 years ago. I think it was 15, but my son was 5 years old. This one evening, it was a weekend, and we had been in the apartment all day,
mm-hmm.
and had a two-bedroom apartment, and I'd put my son to bed. He was five, and I had gone to bed about 10 o'clock. And I couldn't sleep. I was restless. I kept feeling that there was a presence in my house. And I would toss and turn, and I'd get up and look down the hallway, because the way my bed was, I could see out the room and down the hall towards the living room.
Okay.
Well, this went on till about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. And I laid there. I sat there. I was like, what is going on? This presence was so there. I got up about three different times, walked through the apartment, and I'm thinking to myself, this is silly, because I've been here all day. It was a Sunday, okay?
Yeah.
And so I'm laying in bed, and I'm trying to go to sleep, and this feeling has just totally overwhelmed me. Well, about 2:30 in the morning, I'm still laying there in bed. My son walks into my room, scares me to death, but he's standing there. He walks in, and his eyes are like platters. And I said, what's the matter, baby? And he says, Mama, there's a man in my room.
Oh.
And my heart just, and I have the baseball bat by my
bed. Oh, yeah, first thing you think, somebody broke in.
Well, yeah, and I'm, you know, for the last 5 hours, I've been feeling this presence,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I grabbed him, and I set him on the bed, and I said, don't move. Just stay right there, you know. So I got the bat in my hand.
Now, did you have a phone by your bed?
Yeah, but I just...
You didn't want
I had to go check.
All right, yeah. I would have called the police first.
Yeah, I should have, but I was like, you know, my instinct was to protect him, you know.
Yeah.
And so I went in the room, and I flipped on the lights and looked through everything real fast, the closet, under the bed. There was nobody there. So I walked back into the bedroom, and I said, his name is Jamie. I said, sweetheart, I said, Jamie, what happened? What did you see?
He goes,
well, Mama, I was sleeping, and he had a rocking chair in his room. And he said, the rocking chair woke me up. It was squeaking.
Oh.
And I said, yeah. And I said, well, what did you see? He goes, well, there was a man in the rocking chair. And I said, oh, and I'm trying to be calm so he doesn't get scared.
So he wasn't scared, though. He was just kind
of
in awe, right? Oh, he was scared.
He was very scared. I mean, his eyes were like platters when he walked into my room.
Right, but he was scared. Okay.
Yeah,
I thought maybe he was just in awe or something.
I'm trying to calm him down by trying to be cool myself.
All right.
And I'm asking him these questions, and he says, well, what was he doing? And he said, well, he was just rocking in the chair, Mama, and he was just smiling at me. He just kept smiling at me. And so I was like, I said, okay. And I said, well, what did he look like? And he said, well, he had long hair and a beard, but he was dressed like he had on a flannel shirt and blue jeans. And so I said, oh, okay. You know, so I said, you know what? I said, that was probably a guardian angel. That was probably an angel that was, you know, smiling on you and letting you know that he was there to protect you.
At least you were hoping it was, right?
Yeah, and that's the only thing I could think of. But the weird part about the whole thing was that I had felt the presence of somebody there, you know, and then there was this entity in my house. And then a few years later, again, it was kind of the same thing, but it was during the day. I was in the kitchen cooking, and he was in his room playing. He comes running out of the room, comes in the kitchen, again, eyes like platters, scared to death, and he says, Mama, there's a man in my room. He just walked into the hallway.
Was it the same guy?
No. So I told him, go stand at the front door, open the door. If you hear me scream, you run and go get Debbie, because
yeah,
she was my best friend, my neighbor, right? So I got a knife, and I got a big old knife, and I walked down into the bedroom. But I was on the second floor, you know, so I was like, how could they have got in here, right? So I went into his room, and I looked around, and nobody was there. So I came back out, and I said, well, everything's clear.
And you're walking around with a knife, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm not afraid. I've had some close calls, and so I took karate and everything, so I'm not afraid to defend myself. And I've almost gotten raped once, and that totally changed my life. And so anyway, after I calmed him down, I asked him to describe the man that he saw in the hallway. And my father was killed in a car accident September 11th, 1963. And obviously, he never got to meet my father. And when my son described the man in the hallway, he described my father to a T.
Now, this was in the second episode, though. Your father did not look like the guy with the beard, right?
No, this is a totally different person. I have no idea who the guy with the beard was, but when I asked my son to describe the man, he said, you know, like a DA they used to wear in the olden days with the hair straight back?
Yeah.
With the, you know, like a Bobby Darin hair and the DA in the back? Well, that's the way my dad used to wear his hair. So he described the man, and he gets his little hands, and he goes backwards across his head like he's pushing his hair back.
Yeah.
He goes, Mommy, he had his hair back like this. It was all curly in the front. and he had a white shirt on and blue jeans. And my dad always wore white T-shirts and blue jeans.
That's a remarkable story. Hey, thanks for that. Appreciate it. I believe it. I do. Let's go to our Devil Hotline. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Did you see him?
Yes, sir. I swear I saw him. I used to live in Dallas before I moved to College Station. And one night, five of my friends and I had gone down to Deep Elm in Dallas. And it's kind of this alternative place, and you know, down in the city. Mm-hmm. And I was going to get a tattoo. And we had gotten there too late, and the tattoo parlors closed around 1 or 1:30, something like that. I guess it was around 2. And we're walking, you know, 19 years old, just kind of, you know, out in the city having a good time.
Yeah.
And talking to each other, laughing and joking. And it was the most surreal thing. We all look up at once and see this guy coming towards us. Tall, like 6'4". I mean, just a tall, slender, elderly gentleman with white hair, wearing a black top hat, a full black coat, black suit, long black trench coat, black gloves, coming towards us down the hall, down the sidewalk.
What kind of look did he have on his face?
Absolutely no expression whatsoever. And no black eyes. There was no white at all in this thing's eyes.
How close did you guys get to him?
He walked directly past us. I mean, I say walked because you know how when people walk, you can tell there's a gate.
Sure.
There was no gate. There was...
Like he floated by you.
Completely still. Not a one of us saw his feet. We can tell you the most minute details about the tie he was wearing, but nobody saw it.
And he didn't glance over and look at you or your friends?
To this day, we swear, every one of us swear he looked straight at us in the eye.
Oh.
Every one of us.
What makes you think he was the devil?
I'm not, you know... All the guys that were with us, you know, one of us went on to be in the Air Force, and we're all college educated.
Sure.
And we swear we've never been near anything that was just evil.
And it felt that way.
Pure evil. Stopped us dead in our conversation. And this thing goes by us, and we stop and look at each other, turn around, nothing's there.
He's gone.
Gone. And this is not, you know, there's no alleyway. There's no store to duck into. Everything's closed. And we look around, and there were two people looking out of a storefront that looked at us with this incredible expression on their face.
Did they see him?
I believe they had to have seen him, otherwise they wouldn't have made the eye contact with us looking with that look on their face. And it's the most incredible, just surreal experience I've ever had, and I've been trying to call you for months.
Let's hope you never see him again, if you know what I mean.
There is no doubt. And some such weird, it was three girls and three guys, and we all ended up actually marrying each other. So
for protection.
It's kind of the weirdest thing. And it was the scariest moment in my entire life.
And do you still married to her, by the way?
Yes.
Do you two still talk about this episode?
We will. Her and I will, my wife and I, but none of us, we'll talk about it
with each other.
That's interesting. We changed conversation
That's a great story. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
That's what we're opening up that line. Have you seen the devil? Maybe he came to you in a dream. Maybe you've seen him out, like this individual. Perhaps in a crowd. Did he look at you? 818-817-0021. Pure evil. I saw the devil once, I think. And let me tell you, had this person or it had horns, I could have sworn it was indeed the devil. I mean, I even got to a point, quite frankly, where I had to just walk around behind the devil to see if the devil had a tail. And I looked at this person's feet to see if it had hoofs like the devil has, we think. I mean, it just had that flavor, and the person wasn't necessarily pure evil, you know, he didn't come across that way, and I don't think the devil always comes across as pure evil. In this particular case, this person was just strange. I mean, strange. If you, and I'm serious, if you put horns on him and a tail and hoofs, he would be exactly what Hollywood has tried to depict the devil as. And he had that look about him. He had that grace about him. And I thought he was there to collect souls, quite frankly. And never saw him again. And I never want to. Well, we're going to continue with open lines all night long. You've got those phone numbers and then that special devil hotline, 818-817-0021. I'm George Norrie. We'll be back in just a quick moment on Coast to Coast AM.
Subscribe to the After Dark newsletter online at www.coasttocoastam.com. Just click through the orange type to the secure server. Call the Wildcard line at area code 818-501-4109. The first-time caller line is area code 818-501-4721. To talk with George toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 1-800-825-5033. West of the Rockies, toll-free at 1-800-618-8255. International callers may reach George Norrie by calling your in-country Sprint access number, pressing option 5, and dialing toll-free 800-893-0903. From the City of Angels, this is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
And the double hotline number, 818-817-0021. Couple fast blasts I want to share with you. One from Chris in Dayton, Ohio. He says, George, when I was 12, I had a paper out. On Sunday morning around 4:30, one snowy Sunday, I saw cloven hoof prints in the snow. They went along with my paper route, and at one point, they ended at the wall of a house, then continued up on the roof. This was in a suburban area. Ooh, and here's another one from Martin Dallas. In response to your caller from Dallas who saw the elderly man he thought to be the devil, I know this area well. I haven't thought about it in years, but I believe I, too, saw that old man. Hearing him describe it brought chills to my spine. Back in a moment.
Ah.
And welcome back. Let's go to the phones. Wild Card Line, you are up on the air with us. Hi there.
Hey, good evening, George.
Yes, sir. Hi. There he is. Where are you?
Oh, well, just coming into Bristol, Tennessee.
Okay. Good to have you with us.
On the way up to Beantown.
Long poke.
Yes, it is. Oh, before I get to what I wanted to say something really nice about one of your sponsors. I ordered a Christmas present from C. Crane online, and the people were just great. Just great, helpful people.
Well, thank you, and we'll pass that on to Bob Crane too. He enjoys that.
Yeah, I had entered my shipping address, and I just recently moved and didn't change my home address. And of course, my credit card address and my home address were different. Instead of sending me an innocuous email that I wouldn't have probably gotten, because I don't have time to check my email often. You know, they actually called me on the phone, talked to me, you know, and they were just very professional and nice.
Good.
You know, they're good people. What I wanted to ask about, first of all, was if any of your callers tonight know anything about the story of the Bunny Man, I'd like, you know, to hear about that.
The Bunny Man?
The Bunny Man.
We're not talking about Hugh Hefner, are we?
No. That would be interesting. But,
yeah.
This, some kind of a legend about murders or something.
Where did this apparently occur, do you know?
I think it was either in Virginia or West Virginia is where it took place, and I remember hearing about it years ago, and, you know, I always mean to sit down when I'm online and do a search on it, but I always forget, and then I call, you know, if I call you, then I say, oh, well, find somebody, tell me about the Bunny. But what I wanted to call you about was, I was going to ask you if you were going to have Glenn Kimball on with the Secrets of the Nativity sometime during the holidays.
No, we're not going to have Glenn. I just had him on several weeks ago as part of a roundtable discussion on the Knights Templar.
Yeah, I listened to that.
Yeah, so I won't have him on there. And by the way, this may or may not be an urban legend if you want to hear a little bit about the Bunny Man.
Yeah.
Let me read you something. The story about a man dressed as a bunny haunts residential neighborhoods around our nation's capital. Silly, they say, as this might sound, the Bunny Man has been a fixture of local legend for 30 years. By 1973, the so-called Bunny Man had been reported in Maryland and the District of Columbia. Apparently, he was clad in a white bunny suit, armed with an axe, threatening children, vandalizing property. By the 1980s, the Bunny Man had become even more sinister, with several gruesome murders to his credit. Although he has been reported as far south as Culpeper, Virginia, his main haunt has been an area surrounding a railroad overpass near Fairfax Station. And
that's the one.
That is
that's
it.
That's the one. Well, I'll tell you what, that was quick.
It sure is.
But, yeah, I was just wondering. I know we really enjoyed the show last year with Glenn Kimball.
Yeah.
And the Secrets of the Nativity. I didn't know if you were going to do something along those lines.
I'm going to have a live show on Christmas Eve, and I've got Rosemary Ellen Guiley joining me for a couple hours to talk about the reality of angels, and then we're going to just have some Christmas Eve open lines and stories from people like you.
Okay, great, George. Appreciate it. A lot of us out here on the road listen to you.
You drive carefully.
Thanks a lot.
Okay, eventually you're going to be hitting some pretty rough weather, not this weekend, but you know what? We are moving into winter, and you can't hold back forever. We've been lucky, I think, overall. Let's go to who's up next? The West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, my name is Joe. I'm from San Diego.
Hi, Joe.
Listening to Kogo.
Kogo, sure thing.
Yeah, and I called because I wanted to know, I mean, I enjoy your show for many years. I don't always get to listen to it, but I try to catch it from time to time, and I wondered if in your experience or if some of your listeners might have said something to you like this. I have two things I wanted to mention. Number one, I'm in my late 40s now, and when I was a teenager, we were living in the desert area, Palm Springs area. We just moved into a house. Wasn't a happy time. We were my mother passed away. My dad rather quickly remarried, and wasn't too happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
But my brother and I had just moved into our home. Our family had moved into our home, and we were in our room, just talking, and next to a window in our bedroom. And from the window, or what seemed to come through a window very quickly, and it only appeared for a few seconds, was the spinning bright light. It was like a spiral that just appeared and just started spinning and just startled us. My brother and I just looked at each other. It was this, it almost looked like it could have been looking like a galaxy, a tiny galaxy or something, or maybe like a 4th of July type of firework type thing. But you know, I never used drugs. I never drank. I never did anything of that nature. And it just appeared. And I had a feeling just in my gut that there was a reason for it, as if it was some kind of communication from something, someone. Almost like maybe it could have been from God or something.
Did it look like it was trying to zap you two?
No, it just appeared between us. As he was standing next to the closet, and I was, I guess, next to the bed, and 3 or 4 feet between us, just talking. I don't remember what it was.
How did it dissipate?
It just appears, spins very, very quickly, and then just disappeared. We looked at each other and said, "What was that?"
That's weird. And would it look like, what, as big as a basketball or bigger than that?
It seemed to be maybe a foot or foot and a half across or something like that. This is when we were teenagers. I've never even discussed it with my brother since then. I don't even know if he would remember if I brought it to his attention. But
did it look like it had some intelligence behind it? Or was it like all over the place?
It was between us. It was just spinning very, very quickly. It was bright. It was it could have been looking like, you know, how the pictures of the galaxies.
Yeah.
How they
like little small in with
but
small
it was
stars.
Spinning
in
very, very quickly, and it disappeared for a second. We never talked about it again. But I had a feeling in my gut that it was some kind of communication, and I wanted to know if you'd ever heard of anything like that from your listeners or from anything.
Not like that. Wouldn't it be strange, though, if you were looking in some other dimension or some other universe and you were actually looking at a real galaxy from afar? What an incredible story that would be.
I don't know. I almost feel like there was something mystical to it.
Maybe.
If there was some kind of power from beyond just saying something to us. I became a Christian, and I was very much into the Bible. My brother didn't have...
All because of this event?
Not because of this event, but I feel like in the years that have had since then, the only reason I feel somewhat protected in my life is because I appreciate the Bible and I read it. And I feel close to God, but my brother hasn't felt that way, and he hasn't had a very good life.
That's interesting that you said that.
And I don't know if there's a connection or not. I just wanted to know if there was anything to it.
Well, let me tell you, it's the first time I've ever heard of anything like that kind of image floating around. So we'll see if anybody else calls with anything similar. But I have not heard of that before. And let's go now to our Devil Hotline. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're on the air. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
George, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, and where are you?
I'm Christine, and I'm in Petaluma, California.
Okay.
It's KSRO 1350.
Sure thing. Know it well.
Well, yeah, I'm being stalked by the devil for the last 20
oh,
months.
Oh, great. For how long?
20 months. This is a true story. I was going to call you on the, you know, truth or garbage line you had the other night.
Truth or trash.
Truth or trash. But I didn't get through. This is a true story because it's been happening to me.
Tell us.
I used to live in Albany, California. It's a little bitty town north of Berkeley. Lived there for almost 21 years. I complained about a bar that has live music 5-6 days a night.
Mm-hmm.
It's been recently, last 7 years, taken over by this woman and her two sons, where they have the live music.
Did you live close to this place?
Yeah. The other side of the, they're on one block, and I'm on the other side.
And you could hear the music from where you live?
Oh, yeah, you can hear it like 4 blocks.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
okay.
Everybody complained about it. But they found out it was me one night that I
called. You were the one, huh?
Right, and I'm not quite sure how. And I'm totally blind, but me and my guide dog have been stalked and harassed ever since. Things thrown at us, cars following, and I know this for sure because I've had people follow me while I'm being followed. And they've done all sorts of stuff, trashed furniture, all sorts of stuff. So I moved to Berkeley. That was even worse. And one of the people has keys to get into any lock. And one of the police officers that I made a report with said, you know, get your such and such a lock on, and I did. He said, well, at least it will slow him down. I had four locks changed, two locks changed four times, and in four, you know, 4 months, and it still didn't slow him down. Every time I left, they came in and did stuff.
So you think they're the devil?
Well, two people have seen them. Once, see, there's, I would say, two of them, two from Latin America, two men that they're evil.
I mean, do you actually think they're the devil, or do you think bad people?
Yeah, their group is in devil worship, but these two people, their evil is palpable.
Maybe agents of, huh?
It's pure hatred. Just pure hatred.
How do they find out where you moved?
Well, I'm very easy to follow. I'm with a guide dog, and people.
Well, I mean, when you're going to move from one place to another, I mean, how did they find that out?
They just follow me. I'm on Section 8, so it takes 2.5 months for paperwork to go through.
Well, I mean, how far did you move?
First time, 15 minutes away, which was not enough. It didn't do anything.
And they followed you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. See.
Who came and got you?
Friends who've been in all three.
So you get into a car. You're ready to move to this new place.
Yeah.
These devil agents get in their car, and they follow you.
Yeah.
Just to find out where you are.
Oh, there's multiple. There's at least a dozen of them. You see, the thing is they're totally pissed off at me.
Watch the words.
Wait. I'm a recovering alcoholic, and they're selling drugs out of this bar because I know people that get their drugs out of there. And so they're totally pissed off that I'm recovering alcoholic.
Sweetheart, you gotta watch the language.
I'm sorry. They're angry. They're upset with me. That I don't drink and do drugs. And
you, of course, have made reports to the cops.
Oh, FBI, happened. Drug Enforcement Agency. They're being three different city police and a detective. They're being investigated up the gazoo. Yes, yes. Everybody I know knows about it. My landlord knows about it. So I'm very much protecting myself.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, it's a really, especially the situation you're in, for crying out loud. You're blind. You can't even see these people when they're coming at you. But it's got to be a pretty awkward situation to be trapped in that kind of environment. And hopefully law enforcement will do something to protect you from these people, and they also sound like they're just absolutely pure evil. I mean, pure evil. And it sounds like you're doing the best you can, all things considered. It's amazing. All this still continues right here in the United States, huh? You know, 25,000 murders in this country last year alone? That's a lot. Wildcard Line, you're up. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Gary from Toledo on WSPD.
Sure, Gary. How are you?
I'm great, but I wanted to tell you, you know, you were talking about the devil sighting. I was married to her for 4 years. I can tell you exactly what she looked like.
I don't want to touch that one with a 10-foot pole.
Actually, you know, it's probably better that way. I love the last guest you had, the gentleman talking about all the symbology on the dollar bills.
Yes, I'm gonna get him back to talk full show about Nostradamus too. Sounds like
that should be interesting.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about.
I saw something really creepy on the dollar bill, and I swear to you, I'm not making this up. But I'm in a vehicle, so the light's a little low. But look at if you look in front of the Great Pyramid on the back.
Back
of the bill.
Okay.
Right above the Novus Ordo Seclorum.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at those figures in front of the pyramid. They look, and don't laugh at me because I swear this is what it looks like. It looks like it's a pile of corpses.
You can see those things?
It's creepy, but yeah.
I need a magnifying glass.
Yeah, well, it's By the way, I wanted to mention, I saw the morph picture on there, and when I saw the morph, it explained a whole lot, so I want to thank you for putting that on there.
Now you know where I'm from.
Yeah, Alpha Centauri. No.
I've got to look at this. So you're saying they're little corpses right down there by the base of the pyramid.
It sure looks like it.
Okay.
And I'm going to go a step further. It looks like they're arranged as if they were placed in a certain pattern, in a certain way. Are you familiar with the Masonic lore regarding Jack the Ripper?
No, I'm not familiar with that at all. What is that?
Okay. Well, there's a lot to it. I'll just kind of hit on a couple.
Yeah, give me the highlights.
The highlights. there were certain ways that things were done, certain, like the I think it had to do with the placement of the body, if I'm not mistaken. Someone correct me. And there was actually a purpose to it. The Masonic, this is the legend goes, whether it's true or not, I have no clue. But according to the lore, that the Ripper was actually a very high-ranking doctor, and he was a Mason. And his purpose for doing this whole ritualistic murder of the prostitutes was some kind of a cleansing or some sort of a ritual along those lines. There's a lot more to it. I wish I had time to go into it.
I had interviewed someone from Scotland Yard a long time ago. His theory was that Ripper was a doctor and lived, believe it or not, in my old neck of the woods of St. Louis, Missouri, and went back there to live and died in St. Louis. It was a really bizarre story. Then, of course, we've heard other theories that, he was a doctor of royalty, then also that he was royalty, he was a son of maybe the queen, who knows. But the theory about the doctor is pretty strong, and he went back to St. Louis, and Jack the Ripper, if that was him, he ended up dying of a heart attack in a St. Louis hospital that is no more. But it was a great theory, and this, again, came from an expert, a police officer who works for Scotland Yard. I'm George Norrie. Open lines continue. My, this was a fast hour, but we've got two more to go. We'll be right back.
Believe what you're hearing? Listen to it again when you sign up for StreamLink at www.coasttocoastam.com. It's only 15 cents a day.